Amen. Thank you, Brother Stephen, for playing that. That goes so well with the theme of our series of sermons that we are endeavoring to preach, entitled God Uses Misfits. Amen. That should have made everybody in here shout. Because I told you last Sunday, all of us in here are some misfits. But God still chooses to use us despite our misfortune, our shortcomings. God still uses us. I want to lift today from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 11. Amen. Once this series is over, I don't oftentimes encourage you, but I think you ought to get this series and give it to somebody. Or maybe listen to it yourself over again. Amen. It has ministered to me, and I believe it will in turn minister to you as well. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Amen. God uses misfits. God uses misfits. On Friday, I was working over in the Pleasant Grove area, and I was on the corner of Lake June and Buckner Boulevard when I saw something that arrested my attention and caused me to circle the block and be sure what I saw was actually what I thought I saw. After circling the block and seeing it a second time, I pulled into a convenience store parking lot and started praising God. What I saw, Reverend Welch, was a man riding a bike. That itself was not unusual. People ride bikes all the time. But what made me circle the block and look a second time was it did not appear that this man should have been riding a bike. What I saw caused me to make a determination as to what he should or should not have been doing based upon what I saw. The man riding the bike was riding it with only one leg. His right leg was missing, either through amputation or a birth deformity, I'm not sure, but he had no right leg. Instead, he had a long stick attached to the right pedal, and whenever it was time for the right leg that was missing to do what the right leg would have done, he would push down on the pedal with his right arm. We're going to shout on the introduction in a minute, y'all. His left foot would go up. And his right arm would go down. His right arm would go up and his left leg would go down. He was doing something that looked like he had no business doing. He looked like a misfit. And what shattered me was I thought about myself and how if you look at me, if you just look at my life, it looked like I ought not be doing what I'm doing. When people look at me, I don't measure up. But when God looks at me, he does not see all of my mess ups, all of my mishaps and my mistakes. When God looks at me, he does not see me. But when God looks at me, he sees the blood of Jesus. He sees a misfit, an unqualified person who he has taken and made qualified. And that ought to make somebody shout in here today. Who is honest to say, because you know you have no business even sitting in the Lord's house today. After all of the dirt you've done, after all of the mistakes you've made, if your neighbor knew your history, they would get up and move. But God knows everything, and he still chooses to bless you. He still chooses to use a misfit like you and I. We're not in a convenience store parking lot. We're not in East Dallas, but right here this morning in the Lord's house, when you think about what God really knows about you, and he still blesses you, still watches over you, still provides for you, still makes a way for you. Most of all, listen, he allows you to be in his service. You really ought not wait until I get to the hooping part, but listen, you ought to give God some praise right now. I had to stop and thank God for using a wretch like me. And there ought to be somebody here today feel like I feel this morning, that people see you one way, but God sees you another way, and it's because of the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? What is it that can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In this text, in this 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, it's not just Jesus' ability to heal leprosy, but it's also concerning the attitude of the person cured. Jesus' mercy is offered to all men, but they must acknowledge what God has done for them through faith. Faith must always be added to thanksgiving. If God has done something for you, the proper response is to say thank you. My mama, my grandmama, whenever someone would give me something, she would say to me, "Boy, what you gonna say?" And I would respond by saying thank you. If God has blessed you this morning, what you gonna say? If God has made a way for you this morning, what you gonna say? God woke you up this morning and closed you in your right mind and started you on your way. What you gonna say? You ought to tell God, thank you. The miracle, this passage is only particular to the Gospel of Luke. It is only recorded by Luke. It is not in the other gospel. It takes place on the outskirts of habitation. Jesus is in a little area between Samaria and Galilee. It's only an outlying area. It's off the map. It's away from the city. It's on the periphery. It's on the outskirts of where regular people hang out. The only people you can find here are lepers, prostitutes, demonics, people who don't fit in to society. They are outsiders. They're on the outskirts of society. And Jesus detours to make a visit to the outskirts between Samaria and Galilee. When he gets there, he takes time and space for people. Nobody wants to be bothered with. Nobody wants to be bothered with them. They are 10 leprous men, 10 men with leprosy. Looks like their condition. Look at their condition. They have leprosy. Leprosy has defiled them. Leprosy has distanced them. Leprosy has doomed them. And they are relegated to the outskirts of the city. They can't go to work. They can't take their children to school. They can't even go to church. They can't even be in society. As a matter of fact, if anybody got within 50 yards of them, they had to cry with a loud voice, unclean. They were pushed back. They were marginalized. They were in a little colony all by themselves. They hung out by themselves. They didn't bother anybody. They didn't want anything from anybody. They were content to hang out with like folk in the same condition. They hung out with each other because they were not wanted at Mount Moriah. They couldn't teach Sunday school at Mount Moriah. They couldn't lead a song in the choir at Mount Moriah. They couldn't play an instrument. They couldn't be a deacon at Mount Moriah. They couldn't stand to preach at Mount Moriah. Wouldn't even be allowed in the sanctuary because they were lepers. They were defiled. They were distanced. They were doomed. And to these people that Jesus, he takes time for them. It's also a picture of what you and I are outside of Jesus Christ. We are defiled. We're distant. And we are doomed. Let me see if I can get your face right this morning. Those of you who were raised like I was, you remember when your parents would tell you something you didn't like and you put a frown on your face. Your mother, your father would tell you, you better fix your face. I believe I got some folk in here that remember. Even if you don't like what I'm saying, you better act like you like it. You better fix your face. So let me see if I can fix your face this morning. Because some of you are looking like you so holy and righteous, so good and perfect. I need to help you fix your face this morning. Listen, if there was a line of saints in this building this morning, this is what Paul said. Paul said of the saints, I am the least of the saints. This is Paul who wrote over half of the New Testament. Paul says, if you line some saints around the wall this morning, I am the least among the saints. And as the least among the saints, I would have to get to the back of the ladder. As a matter of fact, he says, the most least I am. I am the most least among the saints. So if you line up all of the saints this morning, Paul says, I got to get to the back of the line. But not only does he say that, he says, I am also the least among the saints, but he also says, I am the chief among the sinners. So if you line at the center this morning, I got to get to the head of the line. Can I fix your face this morning? If there are some saints in here this morning, I'm going to get to the back of the line. If there are some sinners in here this morning, I'm going to get to the front of the line because I don't belong nowhere. The only reason I'm here this morning is because of the grace of God. I wish I had a sinner in here today. I wish I had someone who knows you belong at the back of the line when it comes to saints. I need somebody who knows you belong at the front of the line when it comes to sinners. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I am the least among the saints and the chief among the sinners. That's their condition. And that's every person in here today. Defiled, distant, and doomed without Jesus Christ. They're on the outside. They're on the outside looking in. Nobody deals with them. Nobody pays them any attention. Nobody is concerned with them. Nobody cares about them. They are by themselves. Nobody cares because they are lepers. But look not only, Reverend Smith, at their condition, but also look at their cry. We know their condition. They're defiled, distant, and doomed. But listen to their cry. Somehow, obviously, they must have heard who Jesus was. I don't know where they got their information from. Maybe Bartimaeus told them that one day I was blind, but now I see. Maybe the woman with the issue of blood said she was on her way. He was on his way to Jairus' house, and I knew it was my last chance, so I grabbed his clothes, and when I grabbed his clothes, he stopped. And when he stopped, the blood stopped. Maybe it was the Gadarene demonic who couldn't keep any clothes on, but he met him, and now he's clothed in his right mind. Don't know how they heard about it. But they mixed what they heard with what they believed. They mixed what they heard with what they believed. And when Jesus got within shouting distance, they didn't care who was looking at him. They didn't care about what anybody said. They weren't concerned about being or talked about. They said, Jesus, Master,
Have mercy. Jesus. Master. Have mercy. Somebody hadn't got it yet. Jesus. Master. Have mercy. And Jesus saw them. If you're in here this morning and you don't have a Savior, Jesus, Master, have mercy. If you're in here this morning and your heart is broken, Jesus, Master, have mercy. If you're in here this morning and your child won't act right, Jesus, Master, have mercy. And right where you are, Jesus sees you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad one day you saw me in my sin. And when he saw me, he stopped. And he heard me. Listen, doesn't matter what they heard. They mixed it with what they believed. And they did what every sinner had to do. They cried out. And everybody in here this morning who is saved, one day we were lost. And to get saved, you had to cry out. Never be too proud to cry out. Never be too proud to tell God you need mercy. Never be too proud to tell God I need your grace. I need you to stop by here. I need you to show up in my situation. Anybody need him today? I dare you to cry out, Jesus! Master! Have mercy. Jesus saw them. And Reverend Washington, here's what makes me shout. If everybody else had been looking at them, but nobody saw them. And there's folk in here this morning looking at you, but nobody sees you. And there's folk in here looking at you, but they don't see you. They don't know what you're going through. They don't know why you are smiling at work to keep from crying. They don't know the burden that you're bearing even right now. But thank God you've got somebody who not only sees, but knows. Aren't you glad he sees you? Aren't you glad he sees you? Listen, if you've never been sick, you can't help me shout right here. If you've never been down to your last dime, you can't help me shout right here. If you've never been misunderstood, you can't help me shout right here. But if your back's ever been against the wall, and you said, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Won't he come see about you? I think I'm in the wrong house today. I say, won't he come see about you? Won't he come to you, rescue? Anybody know he will? I hadn't bothered you today, but would you tell your neighbor, yes, he will? Oh, that was the wrong neighbor. Tell your other neighbor, yes, he will. Somebody hadn't got it yet. Turn to somebody behind you. Tell him, yes, he will. Jesus, Master, have mercy. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? That's. Oh, yes, he will. I said, yes, he will. Anybody been sick? And the Lord came to see about you. Yes, he will. Y'all leave me alone, but yes, he will. Yes, he will. That's. That's. That's their condition. That's their cry. But finally, Rum Hansbrough, I want you to see their cure. Jesus Yes, he will. Yes, he will. We've seen their condition. We've seen their cry. But now let's look at their cure. Jesus didn't even put his hand on them. He didn't spit on nobody. He simply said, go show yourself to the priest. Just go straight to the church. And while they walked on their way, they looked at their hands. Their hands looked new. They looked at their feet. And they did too. They started to walk. They had a new walk. They started shouting, and obviously they had a new shout because they never had anything to shout about before. Every one of them was cleansed. Now, normally, a command to visit the priest would follow the cure. Normally, you would go see the priest after you've been cured, so you could officially rejoin society. But in the text, the command to go see the priest is a test of their faith and their obedience. Because when you exercise your faith to act in obedience, the answer comes to your prayer. When you exercise your faith and then do what God says, God will answer your prayer. While they went on their way, the healing occurred. If they stayed right there, they never would have been healed. But because they exercised obedience in faith, while they went, cleansing occurred. All 10 were cleansed. Everybody received cleansing. Their flesh was like the flesh of a newborn baby. They were absolutely, positively, shown up for real, cleansed. But one of them said, this ain't right. If it hadn't been for him, none of this would have occurred. How can I obey the law without giving thanks to the Lord? How can I give obedience to the law if I hadn't given thanks to the Lord? Y'all better hear me this morning. The 9 who did not turn around and give thanks to the Lord were not unfaithful. Because they did what Jesus said do. Jesus said, go yourself to the priest, show yourself to the priest, and that's exactly what they did. And in their obedience and faith, they became clean. They were not unfaithful. The problem was they were ungrateful. And a whole lot of you in here this morning, you are faithful, but you're not grateful. The reason I know you're not grateful is there's no smile on your face. There's no joy in your heart. There's no peace in your appearance. Because when God's been good to you, I wish I had a witness in here today. When God's been good to you, you can't help yourself. And you turn around and tell God, thank you. He put something in you that makes you smile and have joy. Anybody got joy? The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Come on, you can say it with me. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, is he that has made us and not we ourselves. They were not unfaithful, they were ungrateful. And I believe today that if that is a sin that is almost bad as the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, it's the sin of ingratitude. Listen, God's been good to you. I said, God's been good to you. God has opened doors that were closed in your face. God helped you stand on your feet when the world was pushing you down. Put food on your table. Make your enemy your footstool. Help you raise a good child by yourself. And you mean to tell me God has done all of this for you? All the prayers God answered, all the tears he's wiped away. I dare you sit in his presence and not even tell him thank you. I want y'all to get this. I want y'all to get this, and then I'll be through. One of them turned back to say thank you. One of them went back to say thank you. Verse 12 says, as he entered the village. Y'all listen to me. 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance. Verse 13 says, and they raised their voices. They shouted their voices. That's how they carried on when they needed help. And this one, when he got what he came for, just like he raised his voice when he was in trouble, he raised his voice when he got delivered. Listen, just like he said, Jesus, Master, have mercy. When Jesus healed him, he said, Jesus, Master, thank you. And I believe if you holler when you're in trouble, I think you ought to holler when it gets you out of trouble. If you holler when you're down, I think you ought to holler when God picks you up. If you holler when you're sick, I think you ought to holler when God heals your body. And as I close today, is there anybody here today will help me holler? Can somebody help me holler today? If God's done something for you, you ought not be ashamed to holler. Thank you, Master, Savior. Oh, come on. Somebody hadn't hollered yet. Somebody ought to holler for the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. If you holler when you're in trouble, you ought to holler when it gets you out of trouble. Anybody ever been in trouble in here today and God came to see about you? Anybody been sick today and God came to see about you? You ought to holler. God uses misfits like you and I. You can't beat us hollering when we're in trouble. You can't beat us hollering when we need something from the Lord. But if God has brought you through, you ought to holler after the fact, just like you did before the fact. If you're here today and you don't know the Savior, maybe things are not going right in your life. I dare you today to say, Master! Savior! Have mercy! I'm a witness. He'll come and see about you. I can't tell you when he's going to come, but listen, my grandmama said he may not come when you want him. I think I got 3 or 4 witnesses in here today. He may not come when you want him. But won't he show up on time? Won't he show up on time?